इत्युदाहृतमा करुण्य भगवान् नारदस्तदा प्रीतः प्रत्याहतां बालं सद्वाक्यम् अनुकम्पया संबंधित ट्रांसलेशन
The sage continued, the great personality, Nayavagni, upon hearing the words of Dhruva Maharaj, became very compassionate toward him, and in order to show him his causeless mercy, he gave him the following expert advice.
So morning we have seen how Dhruva Maharaj was so determined to practice devotional service. He left the palace. Even at such a young age, and he goes to the forest. And Narada Muni comes and tests his determination. And he says it's very difficult, and he gives some instructions on peacefulness also. But Dhruva Maharaj very honestly expresses his ambitious goal and requests for an honest means to achieve that goal. So Narada Muni was very pleased to see the honesty and determination of Dhruva Maharaj, and he mercifully spoke to him certain things, as it is described from the next verse onwards. Here Narada Muni is described as Anukampaya, means very compassionate or merciful. So, since Narada Muni is the foremost spiritual master, naturally his only activity is to bestow greatest benefit upon whomever he meets. Dhruva, however, was a child, and so his demand was also that of a playful child. He was a child, and his ambition also was like a child. Still, Narada Muni was compassionate to give him what he wanted. So he was actually impressed with the determination of Dhruva. So when there is determination on the side of a devotee, Krishna is impressed, and Krishna's representative is also impressed. For example, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is one devotee named Prataparudra. So Prataparudra Maharaj, he was very determined to get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, he is a king, he is a pounds and shillings man, he is a vishayi, he is a sense gratifier, he is constantly dealing with these social responsibilities, political responsibilities, he is in the midst of material enjoyment. How can a sannyasi meet such a person? And he gives so many reasons also. He quotes verses also. Nishkinchanasya bhagavan bhajanodmukasya param param jigimisho bhavasagarasya sandarshanam vishayinam atha yoshitam chaha hanta hanta vishabhakshanatopya sadhu. It's like vishabhakshan. It's as good as eating poison for a sadhu, for a sannyasi, to meet vishayis. So I cannot meet him. And who all came to recommend Prataparudra Maharaj? Nityanand Guru came. Nityanand Guru recommended, please give some mercy to Prataparudra. Mahaprabhu says, no. Ramananda recommended, no. Sarvam Bhattacharya recommended. So Mahaprabhu says, no, and not only no, if you again request me like this, I will go to Alarnath. I will not stay here. So Sarvam Bhattacharya once frankly mentioned to Prataparudra Maharaj, because Lord Chaitanya is a sannyasi, he is not at all eager to meet you. So I don't know what will happen. And then Pratapada Maharaj says, if I don't get mercy of Lord Chaitanya, I'll become a beggar. This kingdom, this opulence and whatever majesty, everything, that doesn't impress me at all. I'll become a beggar. So, Pratapada Maharaj, when he prepared to even give up his kingdom also, then Sarvam Bhattacharya became so impressed. My God, this person has so much of determination to get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. So, Sarvam Bhattacharya said, he is actually acting like a spiritual master only for Pratapada Maharaj. So he told Pratapada that, I don't know how he is going to meet you, but I am 100% sure he will meet you. I am 100% sure that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is going to show you mercy because I can see your determination to get his mercy. So your determination gives me full assurance that he will eventually show you mercy. But I can tell you just one means. Maybe you can go to that garden during Jagannath Rath Yatra and sing Gopi Git. Maybe that will work. Then he will, and you go in ordinary clothes, not in this king clothes. So finally that worked. But Sarvam Bhattacharya, more than his plans and all, he is impressed with the determination of Pratapada Maharaj, or king, to say that I want to give up my kingdom and become a beggar if I don't get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. It's a very big thing. So, when someone is very sincere like that, automatically his sincerity attracts grace. So, seeing the sincerity and determination of Lord Chaitanya, of Dhruva Maharaj, Narada Muni was also impressed. And to please Lord Chaitanya, Pratapada Maharaj has done so many services. He would arrange accommodation and prasadam for hundreds of devotees who would come to Jagannath Puri from Bengal. Every time, every year during Rath Yatra time, for almost the monsoon season, all the Bengal devotees would come to Jagannath Puri to stay with Lord Chaitanya and see Rath Yatra. So, without even asking, Pratapada Maharaj arranges everything that is needed by all of them. And he employs temple superintendent Tulasi and Kashi Mishra and other people to take care of whatever these Bengali devotees might need, whatever Lord Chaitanya might need. He arranges that Pandavijaya ceremony should happen nicely, and he instructs his people to conduct Hera Panchami festival nicely. And he arranges many things for the Rath Yatra festival. But what impressed Lord Chaitanya? Definitely Lord Chaitanya was noticing all this internally, and he was understanding the devotion of Pratapada Maharaj, but still externally he was saying, I cannot meet him. But what impressed Lord Chaitanya the most was when Pratapada Maharaj took the broom and started sweeping the floors so that Jagannath can be brought to the cart, ratha. So, uttama raja kari tuchha sevan. When such an exalted personality like Pratapada Maharaj, king, is acting like a sweeper for the pleasure of Lord Jagannath, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was impressed. Because whatever services he was doing earlier, he was doing in the capacity of a king. But when he touched the broom, he has given up the upadhi of being a king. He came down to the level of sweeper. He gave up all the designations, and he, just for the pleasure of the Lord, he was serving. Lord Chaitanya noticed it. He didn't say anything. As if he doesn't know who is this person, he was appreciating Pratapada Maharaj so much in the garden when he was singing the verses of Gopi Git. Then he gave him mercy. So, when one has determination to get the mercy of the Lord, for whatever may be the reason, he can give up anything to get it. Just like Dhruva Maharaj gave up his palace. Definitely his motivation was not very great. That was a material motivation. But at this point his determination was was really strong, and he was ready to do any sacrifice to get the mercy of the Lord. Same thing with Pratapada Maharaj also. Like that, there could be so many other devotees who were determined to get the mercy of the Lord. So when there is determination, you don't feel like giving up anything. Right? Nothing seems as important as getting His grace. So one can give up anything. So that impressed Narada Muni. He is willing to enter forest. He has no fear of wild animals. He is willing to stay away from mother. He is willing to stay away from all palace comforts, despite telling him all the dangers on this path. Despite discouraging him, still he is still enthusiastic. So Narada Muni was impressed. So Narada Muni is telling him, Jananyabhitaha panthaha savainishreyasasyate Bhagavan Vasudevastam Bhajatam Pravanatmanam.
The great sage Narada told Dhruva Maharaj, the instruction given by your mother Suniti to follow the path of devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is just suitable for you. You should therefore completely absorb yourself in the devotional service of the Lord.
Just few verses back, that same Narada Muni told to that same Dhruva, what your mother told you is extremely difficult to follow. Which verse? 30th verse. Durāradhyo, the process taught by your mother is very difficult to follow. Now what he is saying, you see. He says, Jananya abhihitaha panthaha savai nishreyasasyate. Janani, whatever your Janani mother told you, that pantha, that path, is definitely the best and most beneficial path, spiritual path. You should follow that. Bhagavan Vasudevastvam bhajatam pravranatmanaha. You just go and worship Lord Vasudeva. So Prabhupada writes that Krishna's benediction is beyond expectation. So the benedictions offered by demigods are temporary, but when Krishna offers anything, it is beyond the expectation of his devotee also. So better you worship Lord Vasudeva only, whatever may be the purpose. Prabhupada again mentions about the duty of a guru. Spiritual master can personally give what is wanted by a disciple, but it's not the duty of a guru. If the disciple wants something, spiritual master himself can give also. But the duty of a spiritual master is to engage the disciple in devotional service so that if Krishna wants, he can give him what the disciple wanted. Guru need not give. For example, a small boy comes, maybe he has to solve some of his mathematics problems, addition, multiplication, subtraction, all that. Maybe in first standard, second standard, he is just trying to add. So he comes to you for help. So you can give the answer directly. He is struggling to add 12 plus 13. He is struggling to get the number 25. You can easily give 25. It doesn't take even 25 seconds for you, 2 seconds for you. But you should teach him how he should get that figure 25 there. Oh, 12, 13, you add 2 plus 3, then it becomes 5. Okay, 1 plus 1 add, it will become 2. So like that, whatever is the process you need to do. If it's not 12 plus 13, 12 plus say 19, then you should tell him 2 plus 9 is 11. You put 1 here and put 1 there. And then add that 1 to the next digit. So like that, whatever is the method, better you tell him so that he learns it. Right? He came to me, I'll give the answer. Done. Not necessary. Similarly, Guru also teaches the disciple how to practice devotional service, how to get the grace of Krishna. And if Krishna wants, he will get. He will get whatever he desires. But he does not give what the disciple wanted, although he has the ability to give. One should undergo that endeavor. Krishna was similarly present before Arjuna, and even though he could have given him all facilities for victory over the opposing party without a fight, he did not do so. He told Arjuna, you should fight. The result is declared, but still you should fight. You will get first class in exam. See, here is the mark sheet ready, but you should write the exam. Like that. So, Dhruma Raj, although his desire was material, yet Narada Muni knows that the Lord's grace, the material aspect of Dhruvamara's determination will vanquish and the spiritual aspect will remain. Why, someone may question, why Narada Muni is encouraging such material desires? Knowing that Dhruvamara is seeking Lord's favor to fulfill a material ambition, how can Narada Muni support him? One may question, Narada Muni saw the determination part. Narada Muni saw his eagerness to worship Vishnu. Narada Muni considered that he is approaching Lord Vasudeva. That's glorious. The negative, whatever little negative side is there, that Krishna will take care. He will remove it eventually. That will go away. He did not get on the case of Dhruva Maharaj. Why? You can't have this kind of ambitions. Good that you are worshipping the Lord, but still, this is not the right beginning. He could have technically spoken the truth, but he saw the positive side and then fanned it. Negative side will automatically vanquish. That faith he had. So, seeking to truly bless Dhruva Maharaj, Narada Muni therefore took advantage of his determination and instructed him to completely absorb himself in devotional service. Akama sarva kama va moksha kama udaradhihi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusha param. Whatever may be one's desire, one should engage in devotional service. And there are many other angles also to look at this. Gurujan Prabhu gives one thing. In short, process over product. It's not that one engages in devotional service to get the ultimate product of entering Vaikuntha, entering the spiritual world. Yes, a devotee may enter the spiritual world, but that could be a byproduct. That need not be the end product. The end product is bhakti only. The process is bhakti. The means is bhakti, performing devotional service. And the goal is also bhakti. If Krishna wants you to do that bhakti in the material world, devotee is okay. It's fine. He is fine with it. And if the Lord wants the devotee to perform that same devotional service in the spiritual world, then also the devotee is okay. So the geographical location doesn't matter so much for a devotee. What matters is, am I engaging in Krishna service or not? That matters. Narayana para sarve nakutasthana vibhyati svarga bhavarga narakeshu api tulyartha darshinaha. So, we need not focus on the product, we should focus on the process. So, Dhruva may be desiring for a material product, although potentially he can get a spiritual product. But Dhruva is eager to perform the bona fide process. So Narada Muni identified. Let him focus on the process. What product he may get, what product he may desire later, what product he is desiring, all that details, the process will take care. Like that. So it's the Guru's duty to instruct his disciple in how to perform pure devotional service and engage him in activities and attitudes that will ever deepen the process. Because that is how the disciple will gradually develop a real desire to engage in Krishna's service. The service will blossom in the disciple's heart. Okay, 41. Dharmartha kama mokshakhyam yaichet shreya atmanah ekam hi eva haristatram karanam padasevanam.
Any person who desires the fruits of the four religious principles, religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, and at the end liberation, should engage himself in the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead for worship of his lotus feet is the fulfillment of all of this.
So Hareha Pada Sevanam. Karanam Hareha Pada Sevanam. If one performs service unto the lotus feet of Lord Hari, that can give one all the results of dharma, artha, kama, moksha, whatever, chaturvitha, purusharthas. Four purusharthas one can attain only by serving the Lord. And by serving the Lord, you will not get only the four purusharthas, you will get panchama purusharthas, love of Godhead also. That point he did not release in this time. But at this point, he is only saying, whatever fulfillment of these four purusharthas you may be desiring for, you should approach the Lord only. So, because Krishna is the ultimate benefactor. So, in Gita also it is said that only because of the sanction of Krishna, the demigods are able to give some benedictions. Right? So, real intelligence, Prabhupada says, Narada Muni therefore advised that even for religious, economic development, etc., one should approach the Lord, offer prayers and ask for the fulfillment of one's desire. An intelligent person never goes to demigods to pray for anything. He goes directly to the Supreme Lord only. So that is real intelligence. Real intelligence is to approach Krishna. Udara dhihi, tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purushah param. Then udara dhihi is what? The four sukritis. What is that verse? Artho jignasur arthati jnani cha bharsha. Chaturvidha bhajante mam jana sukriti no arjuna. Artho jignasur arthati jnani cha bharatarshabha. So in that series I think udaradhi word also comes. So someone who has broader intelligence will always approach Krishna only. Kama sarva kama va moksha kama udaradhi in that. So in this context, that verse is also quoted many times. Udharadhi. Next, 42nd verse. Tattata gaccha bhadram te yamunayastatam shuchim punyam madhuvanam yatram sannidhyam nityadaharehe.
My dear boy, I therefore wish all good fortune for you. You should go to the bank of Yamuna, where there is a virtuous forest named Madhuvan, and there be purified. Just by going there, one draws nearer to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who always lives there.
Go to Madhuvan and worship the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Lord Krishna. So Prabhupada in the purport writes about the significance of holy places. All these places of pilgrimage yield a special advantage for a devotee in quickly advancing in spiritual life. Yes, spiritual activity, wherever it is performed, depending on the consciousness of a person, is effective. But holy places have very special vibrations there. So those vibes will just enhance one's devotional life nicely. 43. Snatvanu savanam tasmin. Kalindya hasalire shive krittvachitani nivasam atmanaha kalpitasana.
Narad Muni instructed, my dear boy, in the waters of the Yamuna river, which is known as Kalindi, you should take 3 baths daily. Because the water is very auspicious, sacred and clear, and after bathing, you should perform the necessary regulative principles for Ashtanga Yoga and then sit down on your asana, sitting place, in a calm and quiet position.
44. Pranayamena trivratam pranendriya manomalam shanair vyudyasya bhidhyayen manasa guruna gurum.
After sitting on your seat, practice the 3 kinds of breathing exercises and thus gradually control the life air, the mind and the senses. Completely free yourself from all material contamination and with great patience begin to meditate on the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
So in these 2 verses, Narada Muni is teaching him Ashtanga Yoga. So you should take tea 3 times bath in a day. It's all part of yama and niyama. And asana, pranayama. Pranayama, he says 3 types of breathing exercises. Puraka, rejaka, kumbhaka. Inhaling and exhaling and controlling all that. So next, gradually controlling life here. Pratyahara. So manasa guruna gurum. Meditate on the Supreme Lord. Guruna, in an undisturbed mind, with an undisturbed mind. Gurum, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So dharana and dhyana. So like that he explains him this Ashtanga Yoga process. And when he comes to dhyana, he elaborately describes the form of the Lord. Right? So the core process within Ashtanga Yoga is to focus and meditate and fix one's mind on the Supreme Personality of Godhead's form. So that he elaborates. Even Kapiladeva also elaborates a lot. From 45th verse onwards, next 6-7 verses are describing the form of the Lord on which Dhruva is supposed to meditate. Prasadabhimukham shashvat prasannavadanikshanam surasam subhravam charu kapolam surasundaram prasadabhimukham shashvat. Shashvat means eternally or constantly, perpetually. Prasada abhimukham. Abhimukham means inclined to, prepared to, always ready, ever ready. That is abhimukham. So prasada abhimukham. Prasada means mercy. Krishna is always ready to offer mercy to his devotees. Prasada abhimukham shashvat. He is always ready to give mercy. But devotee is sometimes eager to take it, sometimes he may not be eager to take it. He may give darshan, but I am busy, I have some other engagements like that. But Krishna is always prasadabhimukham shashvat. Prasanna vadanikshanam, his vadana, his face, and ikshana, glances, eyes, they are always prasanna, very pleasant, joyful, happy. Sunasam sundaram, sunasam subhruvam charu. Sunasa means he has a beautiful nose. Subhruvam, beautiful eyebrows. Charu kapolam, beautiful forehead. Surasundaram, he is more beautiful than the demigods, or he is attractive to even demigods also. Or amongst all the demigods, he is the most attractive. Because he is not like any other ordinary demigod. He is Deva Deva. He is the head of all demigods. So like that, Krishna's beautiful form is described here. So, meditation on the Lord's form. This verse clearly explains how one has to meditate on the form of the Lord. Impersonal meditation is a bogus invention of modern days. In none of the Vedic literatures is impersonal meditation recommended. But it is remarked by the Lord himself that those who are attached to this impersonal feature suffer a very troublesome task because no one can concentrate on something impersonal. Prabhupada is basically quoting from 12th chapter of Gita. Tetvakshara manirdesham avyaktam paripasate sarvatra gamachintyam cha kutastham adalam dhruvam sanniyam yendriya gramam sarvatra samabuddhayah te prapnuvanti mameva sarva bhuta hitiyartah. Next verse he says, kleshodhikatarastesham avyakta satya chetasam avyakta hegatir dukkham dehavadbhiravapyati. So, klesha adhikara tarastesham, the difficulties that are undergone by impersonal meditators are very intense. Klesha adhikara tarastesham, avyakta asakta chetasam. If one's chetan is attracted to something which is unmanifest, it requires more effort. Something is manifest, you can focus on it. Nothing is manifest, what you will focus? So, like that. Krishna himself describes the difficulties in the path of impersonalism. 46th verse. Tarunam ramaniyangam arunoshtekshanadharam pranatashrayanam drumnam sharanyam karunarnavam. Tarunam ramaniyangam. This verse is very beautiful. it not only describes the beauty of Krishna, along with describing the beauty, it describes the qualities of Krishna also. Tarunam means Krishna is very youthful. First 5 years of a person's lifespan is called Balya stage. Next 5 years, Pauganda. 5 to 10 is Pauganda. 10 to 15 is called Kaishora Hills. Beyond 15 it is Yavana. But Krishna's growth is peculiar. Krishna completes his Balya stage in 3 years, 4 months. And from 3 years, 4 months to 6 years, 8 months, he completes his Pauganda stage. And from 6 years, 8 months to 10 years, he completes his Kaishora stage. And at the age of 10, he is in Yavana. Not only that his body grows like that, his body grows quite faster. When he is just 3 years, 4 months old, he looks like a 5-year-old boy. When he is 6 year old, 8 months, he looks like a 10-year-old boy. At the age of 10, he looks like a 15-year-old boy. So, not only does his body develop like that, his intelligence also develops like that. Okay. When he is 10 years old, his intelligence and his thoughts and feelings, they are as good as a 15-year-old boy. Like that, the growth, intellectual growth, of course, he is supremely intelligent, but in his manifest pastimes in Vrindavan, he behaves like this. So, in his internal growth and physical growth, he is quite fast. And beyond, when he comes to Yavana, so when somewhere he is at 16, something like that, beyond that he doesn't grow only. Although he is 125 years old, still he looks like a 16-year-old boy. At the max 25-year-old man, as Prabhupada says. Like that. So Tarunam, he is always youthful, ever youthful. Ramaniya Angam means every limb of Krishna is properly formed. So not that the limbs are of different proportions, right? For an ordinary human being, somebody may be black or white or fat or thin or long, tall or short or whatever it may be. But a person at that age, whatever should be the physical form, physical attributes of that person, Krishna displays them very perfectly. Right? Ramaniyangam, every limb of his body is properly formed, attractive limbs. Arunoshtekshanadharam. Aruna means the complexion of a rising sun. So Aruna Ushta Ikshana Adharam, his lips and his eyes are reddish like a rising sun. And he has a bluish complexion. Pranata Ashrayanam Nrimnam. Pranata Ashrayanam means he is the only person who is worthy of giving shelter to one who surrenders unto him. Different people may surrender unto different other people. But no one can give as much shelter as Krishna does. Krishna can give. So that's why he is called Pranata Ashrayanam. The only person who is worthy of accepting shelter from is Krishna. Nrimnam. Nrimnam means he is pleasing in all respects. You can't find fault in Krishna's character. So any angle you look at, so Krishna is perfect in that angle. Physically, mentally also, internally also, like that. He is transcendentally pleasing in all respects. Sharanyam, again something similar to Pranatashrayanam, worthy of surrender. So Karunaranam, why he is worthy of surrender? Because he is an ocean of mercy. Unless that mercy aspect is there, he cannot surrender. Because a person may be glorious, very a great person with so many opulences and attributes and powers. But these powers and majesty and opulences may or may not inspire surrender unless he has the quality of sharing that powers, using those powers to protect someone. Yeah, he has $10 million. Very great. But does it inspire surrender in you? No, he has $10 million and he is willing to give charity. Then you can go to him. So he is Sharanyam, he is Karunaranavam. He has all these attributes, but apart from that, he is magnanimous also. Especially when he comes as Lord Chaitanya, he is all the more magnanimous. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, one beautiful verse comes, the invocation verse of 23rd chapter of Madhya Leela.
Chiradattam Nijagupta Vittam Saprayamanama Mrutamatyudaraha Apamaroyo Vitatara Gaura Krishno Jane Bhyastamaham Prapadye Chirat Adattam Nijagupta Vittam. Chirat Adattam means adat, Datta means to give. Adatta means that which is not given. Chirat means for a long time. For a long time, Krishna has not bestowed this special gift. What is that? Chiradadattam Nijagupta Vittam. His most secret and confidential treasure Krishna has not bestowed for a long time. What is that? Saprema Namamritam. You have projected that verse? You try. Madhya Leela 23rd verse. Chiradadattam. Yeah. Saprema Namamritam Atyudaraha. So prema, love for himself, love of Godhead, nama, his own name, atyudaraha, he is extremely merciful. Because he is extremely merciful, he is sharing this confidential treasure, which he has not shared for a long time. Chiradadattam nijagupta vittam sa prema namamritam atyudaraha. And whom is he giving? He is not discriminating, who is qualified, who is not qualified. Apamaroyo vitatara gauraha. Apamaroyo means most degraded person, low-born person, loose character person. For such persons also Krishna makes it available. Apamaroyo vitatara is distributing prema and nama. Gaura Krishna. Apamaroyo vitatara gaura Krishna. That Krishna and Gaura both are same. Krishna janebhya tamaham prapadye. Janebhya means janta. He is distributing it to the people in general. I offer my obeisances to him. I take his shelter. Tamaham prapadye. So, a person's greatness cannot inspire surrender in you. A person's magnanimity will inspire surrender. When that greatness and sweetness is accompanied by his magnanimity, people just cannot leave him. They just fall flat. So, to the eyes, he is so beautiful and enchanting and charming to look at. Inside his heart is so magnanimous. So, I mean, externally, physically speaking, he is looking good. And he also has a lot of attributes, powers. Second, he is magnanimous enough to bestow all that mercy. So then who else is there to take shelter? And why there is a need to take shelter of anyone else? Kamvadayalam saranam vrajema. When his heart is filled with magnanimity, so what is the need to go anywhere else? Someone may be beautiful, he may not be merciful. Someone may be glorious, he may not be merciful. Someone may be merciful, but he does not have sufficient powers to share. He doesn't have anything to share. He is very charitable, but his treasure house is empty. What he will give? Right? He has willingness to give you $1,000, but he doesn't have even 10 rupees. What he will give? So Krishna's treasure house is always full. He is always ready to empty his treasure house. And still, although he is emptying, still it is always full. On top of it, he is looking very nice also. Somebody may not be looking nice. Right? He is giving. People may not be very excited to take from him. So people may have some reservations. But Krishna is very enchanting to look at also. From all angles, Krishna is brilliant. So that point is highlighted in this verse very well. Sharanyam Karunaranavam. So Prabhupada writes in this purport that the surrendering process always exists in this world. Most people, in fact everybody, surrender to someone for their survival. A child may surrender to parents for his physical maintenance and education and whatever else he may need. So an employee will surrender unto employer. Right? So like that, the surrendering process is there, but the difference between the surrendering process in this material world and the spiritual world is that there is a voluntariness in the surrender in the spiritual world, but here it's a forceful surrender. So the surrender is imperfect, the person who is surrendering is imperfect, and the person whom he is surrendering to is imperfect in this material world. An employee may surrender to his boss. How long? Morning 9 o'clock to evening 6 o'clock. Beyond that, no surrender. Weekdays only, Monday to Friday, Saturday, Sunday, no surrender. If he has to forcefully surrender, that surrender is accompanied with so many, whatever, galleys or lot of discomfort. He is not very eager to do it. Right? For example, if the company says next 3 months we will not give you salary, which employee is inspired to go to the company and work with same dedication? So that surrender is conditional surrender. It's not voluntary surrender. And if the employee is not working properly, which company is eager to maintain him by giving him salary? No. If you work, we'll pay. If you pay, we will work. So there is a business transaction there. So, but in Krishna's case, it's not like that. Whether the devotee who approaches him has the right mood or not, Krishna is always eager to give that. Prasadabhimukham shashvat. There is no conditions apply. But he doesn't want to forcefully give you mercy. He doesn't want to force you to give you love. But he eagerly waits till a person voluntarily surrenders unto him and serves him. Because no one likes forced love. If someone voluntarily loves, then there is happiness in experiencing that love, in relishing that love. So Krishna very patiently waits for it. Right? So Krishna is that one master. In the second kind of Prabhupada, somewhere Prabhupada writes that no master in this material world likes to share the same facilities that he is enjoying with his subordinates. You go to any company, so the boss may be sitting in a very high chair, very most comfortable chair with a very big office room, AC is also there, some table and then so many chairs for visitors to sit. But a peon may not have similar facilities. But if it is Krishna's case, Krishna will give more facilities to more happiness to his devotees than he experiences himself. In fact, to understand what my devotees are experiencing, he may take an incarnation as Lord Chaitanya and understand the greatness of their love, their happiness. By serving Krishna, Srimati Radharani experiences 10 million times more happiness than what Krishna experiences. So which master can give more amount of happiness to his servant in this material world? Prabhupada says like that. That's why he is Sharanyam Karunaranavam, an ocean of mercy. So as such, in the material world, no one is worthy to accept anyone's surrender, nor does anyone fully surrender to anyone unless he is obliged to do so. It's an obligatory surrender. But here the surrendering process is voluntary and the Lord is worthy to accept that surrender. And Lord's form is also not imaginary, as it is understood through the parampara system. Very nicely this verse explains. Next, Srivatsankam Ghanashyamam Purusham Vanamalinam Shankhachakragada Padmair Abhivyatta Chaturbhujam Srivatsankam Ghanashyamam. So Krishna wears a Srivatsa mark on his chest. Ghanashyamam, Ghana is clouds. So his complexion is all, is like a cloud. Meghasyamam Pita Kosheya Vasam Srivatsankam Kaustubodhasitangam Punyopetam Pundarikayataksham. Like that Vishnu Sahasranam begins with this kind of invocation. So Meghasyamam, here Ghanashyamam. Rudragita also this comes. Ghanashyamam, Snigdha Pravrit Ghanashyamam Sarva Saundarya Sangraham चार्वायत चतुर्ब्राह सुजात रुचिरानन स्निग्ध प्रावृत घनश्याम मीन्स कृष्णस बॉडी इज वेरी ग्लॉसी एंड शाइनिंग एंड ग्लिसनिंग लाइक रेन स्निग्ध प्रावृत घनश्याम हिज कॉम्प्लेक्शन इज लाइक मॉनसून क्लाउड डार्क मॉनसून क्लाउड स्निग्ध प्रावृत घनश्याम सर्व सौंदर्य संग्रह ही इज द कलेक्शन ऑफ ऑल ब्यूटीज There are so many beauties in the material world, there are so many beauties in the spiritual world. You bring all those beauties, collect all of them and put at one place. A personification of all of that is Krishna. And in fact, Krishna is the source of all those beauties. Sarva saundarya sangraham. Coming back to this verse, Purusham vanamalinam. Krishna is a Purusha, he is a person. Vanamalinam, he wears a forest flower garland. Shankha Chakra Gada Padmair, in his four hands he holds Shankha Chakra Gada and Padma, Abhivyakta Chaturbhujam, and he manifests himself with four arms. So this is a description of Vishnu form. So this Purusha form of the Lord is very authentic, Prabhupada writes. Actually Lord originally is male, but he appears in female form if necessary. And the feminine feature of The Lord is displayed by Goddess of Fortune, either Lakshmi, or Radharani, or Sita, etc. So the three categories of this feminine aspect of the Lord, Gopi Gana, Lakshmi Gana, Mahishi Gana. Gopi Gana means Vraja Gopis, Gopis of Vrindavan. Mahishi Gana means Queens of Dwaraka. Lakshmi Gana means the consorts, the goddesses of fortune in the spiritual world, in Vaikuntha, Paravyoma. So all three categories are expansions of Srimati Radharani only. Just like Krishna is the source and fountainhead of all incarnations, Srimati Radharani is the source of all these consorts of the Lord's expansions. Like that. Actually, Lord Arjuna, this I read. So Krishna, in his Narayana future, is always four-handed. On the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Lord showed his forearm form to Arjuna. Some devotees are of the opinion that Krishna is an incarnation of Narayana, but Bhagavad school says that Narayana is a manifestation of Krishna. So Krishna, in his original form, is a cowherd boy in Vrindavan. That is called Swayam Rupa. And from that Swayam Rupa, Swayam Prakasha comes. Prakasha is a manifestation of Krishna. And that Prakasha is of two categories. One is Prabhava Prakasha, second is Vaibhava Prakasha. Prabhava Prakasha are those forms of Krishna, multiple, numerous forms with similar physical features and mood. For example, in the Rasalila, Krishna expands himself into as many gopis are there. All of similar forms and similar mood. And in Dwaraka also Krishna expands himself into 16,108 forms. All of having similar mood and similar form. They are called Prakasha Vigrahas. They are called Prabhava Prakasha. And Vaibhava Prakasha means they have a different manifestation, different form, different mood also. One example is Vasudeva, son of Devaki. Sometimes he manifests four hands. Sometimes he gets into the mood of a Kshatriya. And Balaramji is also the original Vaibhava Prakasha form. And from the Balaramji comes, expands Tadekatma Rupa, and next is Vilasa forms, Swamsha and Vilasa forms. And Vilasa is also of two categories, Prabhava Vilasa and Vaibhava Vilasa. So Prabhava Vilasa are the four Chiturvyuhas, Vasudeva, Sankarsana, Aniruddha, Pradyumna. And from this first set of Chaturvihar, Adi Chaturviha, which is called Prabhava Vilasa, second set of Chaturviha will come. That is called Vaibhava Vilasa. And from the second set of Chaturviha, five forms will come. From each of these, Vasudeva, Sankarsana, Pradyumna, Aniruddha, five additional forms will manifest for Krishna's pastimes. So 5 × 4, 20, plus the original four, total 24 Vaibhava Vilasa forms. All these Vaibhava Vilasa forms accompany Lord Narayana. All are four-handed forms. So these are all various forms of Krishna in the spiritual world. Swayam Rupa, Swayam Prakasha, under Swayam Prakasha, Prabhava Prakasha, Vaibhava Prakasha, and Vaibhava Prakasha expands as Tadekatma Rupa, and Tadekatma Rupa manifests Prabhava Vilasa and Vaibhava Vilasa. And next comes Swamsha incarnations. They are also coming from Tadekatma only. And these Swamsha incarnations are in the material world. In the material world, there are six categories of incarnations. One is Purushavataras, Gunavataras, Leelavataras, Manvantaravataras, Yugavataras, and Shaktavishavataras. Six categories of incarnations. So this is the whole broader picture of Krishna's expansions, manifestations, incarnations. Right? Manifestation is Prakasha, expansion is Vilasa, Avatara is incarnation. And a partial representation of potency is Vibhuti. So this is how Krishna expands. So, and Krishna is the source of all these forms. Narayana is a manifestation of Krishna. Just because Narayana has four hands, people will think that Narayana is the source and Krishna is an incarnation. But it's the other way around, according to our Bhagavad school and Chaitanya Siddhamrita. 48th verse. Kiritinam kundalinam keyura valayanvitam kaustubhavaranagrivam pitakausheyavasasam. Kiritinam kundalinam. Krishna wears a beautiful crown. Kundalinam, nice earrings. Keyura vanamal valayanvitam. He wears jeweled necklace and bracelets. Kaustubhavaranagrivam. His chest is nicely adorned with kaustubhamani. Pitakausheyavasasam. He wears this yellowish cloth. Kadamba kinjal kapishanga vasasa. Next, 49th verse. Kanchikalapa paryastam lasat kanchana nupuram darshaniyadamam shantam mano nayana vardhanam. Kanchikalapa paryastam. His waist is surrounded by a nice girdle of small bells. Kanchikalapa paryastam lasat kanchana nupuram. He wears Nupur anklets, very resplendent and shining anklets. Darshaniyatamam shantam. Darshaniyatamam. Darshaniya means that which is worth seeing. Darshaniyatara means that is very much worth seeing. Darshaniyatama means the most worthy of looking at, worthy object that is worthy of looking at is Krishna. He is the best of all things which are enchanting the eyes. Darshaniya tamam shantam, very pleasant, peaceful. Mano nayana vardhanam. So by seeing Krishna's form, one's mind is enlivened. Nayana, one's eyes are enlivened. That is the effect of Krishna's form. What is the effect of Bhagavatam sound vibration? That is Shrotra Mano Bhiramat. So just like the form of Krishna pleases the mind and eyes, the sound of Krishna pleases the mind and ears. 10th canto, 1st chapter, 4th verse. Nivritta tarshay rupageya mana bhavushadhat shrotra manobhiramat. So Krishna's katha, Bhagavatam sound vibration, is like shrotra manobhiramat. Shrotra means ears, mana means mind or heart. Abhiramat, very enchanting, very pleasing. So Bhagavatam sound vibration pleases the ears with its sound, and Bhagavatam sound vibration pleases the heart with its meaning. So sound pleases the ears, meaning pleases the mind or heart. Somewhere we need to just get attracted to. So many people keep asking me how to memorize verses of Bhagavatam. I have only one answer. I would say I never memorized a verse. So I would say, if you want to memorize a verse, you need to fall in love with the meaning of the verse. If not meaning, meter of the verse. When you fall in love with the meaning of the verse or meter of the verse, then there is a possibility of memorizing the verse. Because Bhagavatam's meaning pleases the mind, and meter, the sound, pleases the ears. So some verses are very rhyming. Tadeva ramyam ruchiram navam navam tadeva shashvam manaso mahotsavam tadeva shokarnava soshanam dhunam. So like that, very rhyming verses are there. Namo namaha klesha vinashanaya nirupito dara gunahvayaya. So when you understand the nice rhyming of, when you are able to appreciate the rhyming of the verses and the meter, then just by the sound, spiritual sound, you may get attracted, whether you know the meaning or not. Or if one remembers the meaning, one is attracted to the meaning, my God, nirupita udara gunahvayaya, Krishna's guna qualities, guna qualities, and ahvaya means name. So Krishna's names and his qualities are magnanimous. Nirupita. Nirupita means it has been settled, it is concluded, hence proved. Nirupita udara guna ahvayaya. Just reading this line, some devotees may get attracted. Krishna's qualities are so magnanimous, Krishna's names are so magnanimous. So that meaning, which is put so eloquently in a very rhyming form in just one line of a verse, will attract one's mind or heart, one of them or both of them. Then you can memorize like that. So Bhagavatam's sound vibration is pleasing to the ears and pleasing to the mind. So mano nayana vardhanam, Krishna's form is pleasing to the mind and pleasing to the eyes. Like that. That's why Sarvendriya Gunanjanam is mentioned. Krishna's form has the potency to please all your senses. With that beautiful form, physical looks, he can please the eyes. With the sound that he makes, he can please the ears. Varaha pedam natavara vapuh karanayo karanikaram. So bibharadvasaha kanaka kapisham vaijayantim cha malam. Randharan Veno Radhara Sudhaya Purayan Gopa Vrindair Vrindaranyam Svapada Ramanam Pravishad Gita Kirtihi. Krishna in his beautiful form as cowherd boy, along with the other boys and the cows and calves, he's playing flute as he is entering the forest of Vrindavan. So his beautiful form pleases the eyes of the gopis and whoever looks at him, and the beautiful sound vibration that he makes through his flute, that attracts the minds and hearts of everyone who hears that sound. Like that. That opportunity may not be there in that setup, but in the form of Bhagavatam, that opportunity is very much there for sadhakas who are trying to practice devotional service in Kali Yuga. Mano Nayana Vardhanam. Deity is there and book is there. Padbhyam Nakamani Shrenyam Vilasadhyam samarchatam Hritpadma karnikadhishnyam Akram yatmanyavasthitam Padbhyam nakhamani shrenya. His beautiful toes, right feet, they have jewel-like nails. Nakhamani shrenya. Nakha is nail, mani is jewel. Nakhamani shrenya. So Shreni is a row, is a, what to say, a string of pearls, we say, right? A row, a sequence of pearls, that looks like that. His 10 nails are there, toenails. So he stands on the wall of the lotus of the hearts of those who worship them. Vilasadbhyam samarchatam hrit padma karanika dhishnyam. Hrit padma, the devotee's heart is considered padma, lotus. Hrit padma. Karnika dhishnyam. Karnika means the wall of the lotus, the yellowish inside that tube is the right cylinder kind of structure. So hrit padma karnika dhishnyam. Krishna makes his abode the heart of his devotee. Hrit padma karnika dhishnyam vilasadhyam samarchatam. Whose heart he will make lotus, on which he stands? Vilasadhyam samarchatam. Samarchatam means one who worships him. When a devotee sincerely and seriously worships Krishna, his heart will become like lotus. And the wall of that lotus will become the abode of the Supreme Lord on which he manifests so resplendently. And how does the devotee invite the Lord in the heart? Pravishtaha karanarandhena svanam bhavasaroruham. So Krishna enters the ear holes of a devotee when he hears Bhagavatam sound vibration. Then salilasya yathasarat. Right? He dhunoti shamanam krishna salilasya yathasarat. He will completely cleanse away the contamination in the heart of such devotee. Right? So we invite Krishna in our hearts through our ears. So we make the hearts as lotuses, a board for him to sit on or stand on. Right? Invitation through ears. Jigharanti karana vivarahi shrutivatanitam. And a devotee smells the Lord also through his nose. Jigharanti karana vivarahi. So through nose you generally smell, but devotee smells through ears. Karana vivarahi shrutivatanitam. The shrutis are carrying the saffron dust particles, the sound vibration of shrutis are carrying the saffron dust particles from Krishna's lotus feet, and a devotee smells them through his ears. And through ears Krishna will enter their hearts. Like that. Pibantiye bhagavata atmana satam kathamrutam shravana puteshu samhrutam. Like that. So we just open the ears, means opening the doors for Krishna to enter our hearts. Then hrit padma karnika dhishnyam vilasadhyam samarchatam. That will happen. Next, akramyatmani avasthitam. The Lord is situated in the heart and intelligence of the jiva. Next verse. Smayamanam abhidhyayet. Sanuragavalokanam. Nyatenaika bhutenam. Manasavaradarshabham. Smayamanam abhidhyayet. One has to meditate, abhidhyayet, on the beautiful smile of Krishna. Sa anuraga avalokanam. His avalokan, his glances are filled with anuraga, great affection for his devotees. So meditate on the smile of the Lord, meditate on the glances of the Lord. The glances are always accompanied by his smiles, and the smiles are always accompanied by his glances. Right? So Niyatyaneka Bhutena Manasa Varadarshabham. Meditate regularly with great attention on the greatest benedictor. So Dhrumaraj wanted what? A position superior to Brahma. See what Narada Muni is telling him. You should do all this. No? You want to sit on a position greater than Brahma? Do all this. Meditate on Krishna's form. And Krishna's form is like this. That's how he just transforms. So the allurement is, if I do this, I'll get that result, material ambition. But in the process of fulfilling that material ambition, so much of bhakti is there. So that he'll forget the material ambition and focus on this only, this form only. During the 6 months of tapasya, Dhrumara was not remembering what is he doing tapasya for. He's so focused on the form of the Lord. So abhidaya was pakka. He's not taking breaks. One more month, two more months. Right, countdown starts. Right, 2 more days of meditation, then Lord will come. Give me Dhruvaloka. No, he's so absorbed in the process. So initially his ambition may not be proper, but while he's practicing the process, he's so sincere. That's why the material contamination in his approach to Krishna is washed away, and he's given very unprecedented mercy at that age also, 5 years old boy. So after meditating like this, what is the result? Evam Bhagavato Rupam Subhadram Dhyayato Manaham Nirvritya Parayaturanam Sampannam Nanivartate. One is freed from material contamination. Nirvritya paraya turnam. Paraya, that is enriched with highest bliss. So the result of the meditation on the Lord's form is removal of material contamination. Number two, one is enriched with highest bliss. Number three, never deviated from that form. Na nivartate. He is not deviated. He is so attracted. Let's say many times Ashtanga yogis after dhyana stage, they will become devotees also. They will get into bhakti yoga. So 53rd verse. Japascha paramo guhyaham shruyatam me nrupatmajam yam sattaratram prapathan puman pashyati kecharan. And next verse also will read. Okay, you can read the translation.
O son of the king, now I shall speak unto you the mantra which is to be chanted in the process of meditation. One who carefully chants this mantra for 7 nights can see the perfect human beings flying in the sky.
Japascha paramo guhyaha. I will give you a mantra, you do japa. Do chanting of that. So, and by doing that, in 7 nights one can see perfected human beings also who are flying in the sky. So Prabhupada writes about those people who fly in the sky. Siddhas are there. They fly with their yoga achievements because they have so many siddhis, anima, mahima, laghima, garima, prapti, etc. So Narada Muni told Dhruva Maharaj, by meditating upon the transcendental form of the Lord plus chanting this mantra, one will attain perfection. And the confidentiality of the mantra he also described. If it is so confidential, he says, japasya paramo guhyaha. I will give you a mantra, you do japa of it, and it is paramo guhya, it is very confidential mantra. So Prabhupada says, if it is so confidential, how can you be printing it in Bhagavatam and copy, distribute the copy so much? So Prabhupada says that mantra may be published anywhere. It may be put on site, it may be put on some books, websites or books, but unless it is accepted through parampara, it does not have the efficiency. So, Mahaprabhu distributed Harinam everywhere, right? So, when it is coming directly from Mahaprabhu, that will definitely have the efficacy, right? And whoever is chanting, definitely they will get the benefit, but the maximum benefit is derived when it comes from spiritual master, hearing from Guru, like that Prabhupada says. Meditation should be carried on with chanting. One should not artificially try to see the Lord from while chanting Hare Krishna. But when chanting is done offenselessly, Lord will automatically reveal Himself. Okay, 54th verse. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So this is the mantra that Narada Muni gives to Dhruva Maharaj. Mantrena Nena Devasyam Kuryadravyamayim Buddha Saparyam Vividhair Dravyair Deshakala Vibhagavit. So he says, Mantrena Nena Devasya. So he should take this Dvadasakshari mantra, 12 syllable mantra, and worship Krishna. And also install physical forms. Kurya dravyamayim buddhaha. So you make a form of the Lord, a deity of the Lord, with whatever paraphernalia you may get. You may not carve a metal deity or marble deity in the forest. You can always take mud and then carve a deity with the best possible features. Right? Then saparyam vividhair dravyair, and you also offer service to that form. Vividhair dravya, with various paraphernalia like fruits and roots and flowers and whatever is available in the forest. Right? But this should be done in consideration of time, place and circumstances. Deshakala vibhagavit. Dhruva Maharaj may not be able to offer paneer fried rice in the forest, but he can offer some fruits and flowers, whatever is available there. May not be elaborately cooked food, but some raw fruits he can offer. So desha kala vibhagavit. So principles are there. One should understand the essence of the principle and apply it according to time, place and circumstances. So Brahmanas and Vaishnavas, they may chant these mantras. But Dhruva Maharaj is a Kshatriya, but still he is given this Dvadashakshari mantra, which is beginning with Om. Prabhupada says, by the blessings of a devotee like Narada Muni, even a Kshatriya boy also can pronounce Pranava Omkara. But some caste brahmanas may have some objection. But we follow Narada Muni, not caste brahmanas. Prabhupada says. But here is a tacit proof that if a person accepts the Vaishnava mantra or a Vaishnava way of deity worship, he is allowed to chant pranava. And another point is, deity worship may be done in different parts of the world, and as much as possible one has to do the worship of the deity with perfect standards. But if sometimes the certain paraphernalia is not available in that place, he may use whatever is locally available. Ganga and Yamuna are not flowing everywhere. In deity worship it is best to use Ganga water, Yamuna water, like that. But if the Nadi is not there, you are on the other side of the globe, what you will do? Take whatever water is available and chant mantra. So Gangeja Yamuna Cheva, just invoke the presence of holy rivers by sincere prayer and mantra, then you can use that water, like that. So metal deity or marble deity, you may not be able to carve in a forest. Make a deity of like earth and then worship. Like that Prabhupada says, gives very practical understanding of application of principles. So Lord Chaitanya recommends that his name should be heard in every nook and corner of the world. How is it possible unless one preaches everywhere? And if you preach everywhere, everywhere is not India, everywhere is not Mayapur Dham, everywhere is not Vrindavan Dham. So all paraphernalia is not available everywhere. So you need to adapt to the local circumstances, like that. So Mahaprabhu's cult is Bhagavata Dharma, and he especially recommends Krishna Katha, Gita and Bhagavatam. That every Indian, considering this task to be para upakara, take Lord's message to other residents of the world, not just Indians, or Brahmanas or Kshatriyas, everywhere. And he also gives Sanatana Goswami example, bell metal treated with mercury gives gold. Similarly, when a bona fide spiritual master initiates a disciple, he can become a Vaishnava. Salilaihi shuchi bhirmalyair vanyair mula faladibhi sastankura sukair charchit tulasya priyaya prabhum. Read the translation.
One should worship the Lord by offering pure water, pure flower garlands, fruits, flowers and vegetables which are available in the forest, or by collecting the newly grown grasses, small buds of flowers or even the skins of the trees, and if possible by offering tulasi leaves which are very dear to the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Tulasya priyaya prabhu. Worship with whatever locally available paraphernalia you may gather, and especially tulsi leaves, because tulsi leaves are very dear to the Lord. Yavai lasat sri tulasi mishra krishnanghri renva vyadhikambu netri. So tulsi is very dear to the Lord, and Ganges, which is emanating from the lotus feet of the Lord, is often mixed with the fragrance of tulsi also, because Ganges is coming from his lotus feet, and at least lotus with tulsi is there. So Ganges is mixed with the fragrance of tulasi. Yavai lasat shri tulasi mimishra, like that. And gandher chete tulasika bharaniyena tasya yasmim stapah sumanaso bahumana yanti. So Krishna is very impressed with the austerities of tulasi. So he is very dear. She is very dear to him. And also Prabhupada says, he acknowledges Srimati Govinda Dasi, who has taken so much care to grow tulsi plants from seeds. So she is successful by the grace of Krishna. Now tulsi is there in every center, like that. So deity worship is according to desha and kala. One has to be practical but not whimsical. So wherever there is a need, we may adapt to some local circumstances when that pure paraphernalia is not available. But when it is available, also if we are lazy to get that paraphernalia, then that's not very much recommended. Labdhva dravyamai marchyam kshityam vadishu varchayat abhrutatma manishanto yatavan mitavanyabhuk. Read.
It is possible to worship a form of the Lord made up of physical elements such as earth, water, pulp, wood and metal. In the forest, one can make a form with no more than earth and water and worship him according to the above principles. A devotee who has full control over his self should be very sober and peaceful and must be satisfied simply with eating water, fruits and vegetables are available in the forest.
So control mind and speech, be peaceful, be satisfied with eating whatever is available, mitavanya bhog. So next is, he gives some rules and regulations that he has to follow. Svechavatar charitair achintya nijamayayam karishyatyuttama shlokaham tadhyaye dridayangamam. So svechavatara charitaihi, meditate on the charita, the transcendental narrations or pastimes of the Lord, which are enacted by his svechha. Independently Lord enacts. He is not conditioned. He is very free. So meditate on them. Then achintya nijamaya means enacts with his achintya shakti. Karishyati uttama shloke tadhyayan dhadayangam. So this is about meditation on the pastimes of the Lord. So along with your yoga practice, do's and don'ts, and following other rules and regulations, and meditating on the form of the Lord, and chanting the name of the Lord, you should also meditate on the leelas of the Lord, he says. So Prabhupada writes that devotional service comprises 9 practices, hearing, chanting and other things. And incarnations of the Lord are not forced to act under laws of nature. They are svechavataras. They are independent descents. So meditation on the form, pastime and name are equally potent, but chanting Hare Krishna is recommended in Kali Yuga. So next, Paricharya Bhagavato Yavatyaha Purva Sevitaha Tamantra Hridaye Naivam Prayunjan Mantra Murtaye. So one should follow the footsteps of previous acharyas. Purva Sevitaihi means earlier someone has done that seva. When you are doing that same seva, take the protocols and standards followed by the previous people, previous acharyas. That's what he says. Worship the Lord by following in the footsteps of previous acharyas. So chant Mola Mantra and mentally offer items that are not available. For example, some jewels are not available. Navaratna is not available. So you just put some akshata, or just chant the Mola Mantra and meditate on that offering, and then just offer the water, little achaman or something else as an alternative offering. It's different places, different recommendations are given. For example, we do Manasa Puja before dressing the deities. At that time, there are 16 upacharas. All upacharas are done with an achaman spoon only. Etamasanam, etat padyam, esha madhuparka, all that we are offering with only that spoon only. Right? So, Manasa Puja. So that you can do. Whatever paraphernalia is not available, you just chant the Mula Mantra, sufficient. But when it is available, you should offer. So mental worship if there is no physical paraphernalia. So this mental worship is recommended as a sadhaka, not in the mood of sahajiya. Right? So sahajiyas may imagine something, I am worshipping like this. So but when a sadhaka is doing that, a manasa puja or whatever, he does it in the capacity of sadhaka. Not mentally dancing with Krishna as a gopi, but mentally doing some upacharas like that. Evam kayena manasaham vachasacha vanogatam paricharyamano bhagavan bhaktimat paricharyayam pumsam amayinam samyag bhajatam bhava vardhanah shreyo dishatyabhimatam yaddharma dishudehinam.
who thus engages in the devotional service of the Lord seriously and sincerely with his mind, words and body, and who is fixed in the activities of the prescribed devotional methods, is blessed by the Lord according to his desire. If a devotee desires material religiosity, economic development and sense gratification or liberation from the material world, he is awarded these results.
The result of worship, he says, if you sincerely worship the Lord, following all these principles, the Lord will bless him with all his desires. So that's what Rudra Maharaj is aspiring for at this stage. So devotional service is so potent that one who renders bhakti can achieve whatever he likes as a benediction from the Lord. 61. Viraktas chendriya ratam bhakti yogena bhuyasam tam nirantara bhavenam bhajetadha vimuktaye. Viraktascha indriya ratau. Indriya rati means gratifying senses. Viraktaha. Please stay aloof from that sense enjoyment. Right? And bhakti yogena bhuyasa tam nirantara bhavena. You should constantly perform bhakti yoga. Bhajeta adha vimuktaye. If that is, if you can accomplish that, constant devotional service without any sense enjoyment propensity, then adha vimuktaye, you will get special liberation from the Lord. So, karmis, desire sense gratification, they are lowest. Jnanis, desire liberation, they are little better. But yogis meditate on the lotus feet of the Lord, they are little more better. But devotees just want to serve the Supreme Lord, they are the best. So here Dhruva Maharaj is advised that if he had desire for sense gratification, if he has no desire for sense gratification, then he should directly engage himself in loving service of the Lord. Pure devotional service should be anyabhilashita sunyam. So basically he had a desire, but Narada Muni is just, after describing the whole thing, God will fulfill all your desire, then he says, you should not have any sense gratification. Just as a part of the whole description, he just mention one point. Viraktair. Viraktascha indriya ratau. Right? So, that's how slowly he just gave. Okay, then Dhruva Maharaj may think, okay, I should not be meditating on that. I should focus on this. His end product, he is desiring for the end result only. But while practicing, his mood is not meditating on the end result. Right? That's how Narada Muni very tactfully and intelligently prepared Dhruva Maharaj. So, after hearing all these descriptions, Dhruva Maharaj starts for Madhuvan. Ityuktastam tarikramya pranam yacha nriparbhakaha yayo madhuvanam punyam hare sharana charchitam. Iti uktastam parikramya. So, after hearing all these instructions from Narada Muni, parikramya, Dhruva Maharaj circumambulated Narada Muni. He did parikrama, offered obeisances to him. Pranamya cha nrupa arbhakaha. This nrupa arbhakaha, the son of king, Dhruva offered obeisances to him. And yayo madhuvanam punyam, he went to the most pious and glorious Madhuvan. Hare charana charchitam. What is the beauty of that Madhuvan? Hari charana charchitam. That is, the lotus footprints of Krishna are imprinted on that glorious land of Madhuvan. Because Krishna, when he is wandering in the forests of Vrindavan, he doesn't wear slippers. Yashodamai wanted to give him slippers one day. Then he said, oh, very nice slippers, I will wear it, provided you make slippers for all my 9 lakh cows also. And each cow has 4 legs, not 2 legs. So where will Yashodamai get so many slippers? So Krishna did not wear only. And after that, all the cows just smashed all the pebbles and they understood the mood of Yashodamai. That's why Vrindavan dust is very soft, we hear that. So many consider Hari is name of Vishnu and not Krishna. Krishna goes barefoot and marks earth with symbols of his lotus feet in Vrindavan. He is more glorious than Vaikuntha, where Vishnu wears slippers. That's why Mother Yashoda Mother Earth. He is feeling so much separation from Krishna when Krishna went. Kavana saheta viraham purushottamasya premava loka ruchira smita vulgujalpaihi sthairyam samanam aharam madhumanininam romotsavo mama yadanghri vitankitaya. Mother Earth was celebrating. Romotsavo. All her hairs were standing on end. Mama yadanghri vitankitaya. When Krishna is walking barefoot on her surface, especially in Vrindavan. Wherever Krishna went, he is always with Mother Earth. One devotee got the maximum association of Krishna, that is Mother Earth. And especially in Vrindavan, Mother Earth is more ecstatic because Krishna is not wearing slippers also. Directly he is touching her surface without any 1 inch separation from his lotus feet. So all the gopis in the Venu Gita, they appreciate the fortune of Vrindavan land. Vrindavanam sakhi bhuvo vitanau tikirtim yad devaki sutapadam bujalabdha lakshmihi govinda venu manumodamayuranrityam. Like that they say, Vrindavanam sakhi bhuvo vitanau tikirtim. O sakhis, O my dear friends, Vrindavanam, this land of Vrindavanam, vitanoti kirtim, it is enhancing the glories of this earthly planet. Why? Yad devaki suta padam buja labdha lakshmihi. It has attained the wealth of the lotus feet, the footprints of Devaki Suta. Here Devaki is not Mathura Devaki or Dwaraka Devaki. This Devaki is actually referring to Yashoda only. Because Yashoda Mata and Devaki, they both are such thick friends, sometimes their names are used interchangeably. Sometimes you may call Yashoda with the name Devaki also. That's how Acharyas explain. So when they say Devaki Sutta, it is not indicating Krishna as son of Devaki, it is son of Yashoda Mai only. Yet Devaki Sutta Padam Bhuja Labdha Lakshmihi. Because we are still in Venu Gita, 21st chapter only. They may address Krishna as Devaki Sutta after Krishna left Vrindavan in a very sarcastic tone. But here Krishna is in Vrindavan only, so they don't have to address him as Devaki Sutta. But they still address because that Devaki is indicating Yashoda. So that is the glory of earth, where Mother Earth attained the lotus feet of the Lord. And especially Madhuvan is glorified in that relation here. So Narada Muni gave instructions to Dhruva, and Dhruva went to Madhuvan to perform austerities, to chant Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Now Narada Muni goes to Uttanapad, to the palace. Let's see what happens there. Tapovaram gate tasmin pravishtvantah puram munihim arhitarhanako rajna sukhasina uvachatam.
Uttadhruva Maharaj entered the Madhuvan forest to execute devotional service. The great sage Narada thought, it is wise to go to the king to see how he was faring within the palace. When Narada Muni approached the king, received him properly, offered him due obeisances. After being seated comfortably, Narada began to speak.
So, section is changed, we will take break.